One of the things we have to understand, and I guess I hope, I believe I'll get to the offering and all that before you leave. If not, we'll get the information on the screen. But what's important, what's been burning in me all week, because I look at things, as many of you know, I look at things, I think about things. I know I come up with some conclusions that others haven't thought about, but I think about things, and I think about why things are happening. Now, we know all the scriptures, we've been made victorious, overcomers in this life. We know all of those things. But we're not experiencing all of those things. And folks are getting discouraged. And I told God, I need an answer. I need to be able to tell the people, this is it. This is why it's happening, and this is what you have to do to correct it. It's like, I need to do that. Because as far as I'm concerned, this can't continue. And I told God, you said to me, you gave me that whole TikTok. And part of it, you said, too many hands off the plow. Too many hands off the plow. And I believe that, but I want to know why. It's not just circumstances. Circumstances popped up. So it's not just the circumstance. It's what we do with the circumstance that's the issue. And one of the things that I'm going to tell you right now, I'm kicking over, you know, a sacred cow, so to speak, even though it's not a scriptural cow, but it's a tradition. It's a saying. It's something that we use when we don't quite meet the mark. We use this and we think that it's okay. And we're going to find out today it's not okay. If we're going to have everything that the Bible says we have. How many of you always do the best that you can? Nobody? I know they don't try to, I don't know if I want to raise my hand to this, right? All right. How many of you try to do the best that you can? How many of you try to do your absolute best? Why? God never expected you to try to do your absolute best. And therein lies the problem. Because a circumstance comes and we try to do our absolute best and we fall far short of the mark. And then we get discouraged. Then we become dismayed. Then we start questioning, our faith gets damaged. See, when you try to do the best you can, whose strength are you operating in? Whose strength? Your own strength. And your own strength isn't good enough to handle it. Let's go to Hebrews 12. We have to start there. Those online, I know you're like, what happened? We just jumped right in. It started with our last pre-service praise. Hebrews 12, first three verses out of the Passion Translation. As for us, we have all of these great witnesses who encircle us like clouds. So we must let go of every wound that has pierced us and the sin we so easily fall into. Then we will be able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination, for the path has been already marked out before us. We look away from the natural realm and we fasten our gaze onto Jesus, who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. His example is this. Because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his, he endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation, and now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. So consider carefully how Jesus faced such intense opposition from sinners who oppose their own souls. You ever face intense opposition? So that you won't become worn down and cave in under life's pressures. Now in John 10:10, we all know that Jesus told us, he said, the thief comes but for the steal, kill, and destroy. The only reason the thief comes is because he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. The thief comes. Jesus said, I have come. So that means when the thief shows up, why is he encountering you? When Jesus said, I have come. When the thief shows up, who should he be encountering? Or you could say that Jesus in you should burst right out. But we're doing the best we can. I've contacted ADT. I let them put in an alarm system. You know, I put lights on my house. I saw the commercial. So if anyone comes, my TAC-4 light, they'll just pop right on. And a thief will see the light come on and run away, because that's what they do in the commercial. And I can go out comfortably. I don't even have to think about it, because I have my alarm system. I have my lights. I may even get a dog. That's the best I can do. And then I come home, and the dog is sitting down because I threw him a nice steak, and he's eating. The lights are still flashing, or the lights flashed on when I drove up. And I walk in, as I get out of the car here, my alarm system's going. I go inside, and I'm cleaned out. I'm like, but I did the best that I could do. God didn't ask us to do our best. And that's what's out of place. That's why there are too many who have taken their hands off the plow. Too many. They took their hands off the plow, folks, because they put their hands to the plow and they started, and everything was nice, everything was easy, everything was comfortable. They were having a good old time. They had their Christian music playing. They're just going along, and all of a sudden, something comes up. And you're still trying to do the best you can. It can't move. I was just tooling along, and now all of a sudden, I can't move. So I try and pull back. I can't pull back at all. I'm stuck. And I've tried everything I know to do, and I'm still stuck. I take my hands off the plow, and I'm like, what's going on? I don't understand. Meanwhile, you're supposed to be going, but I don't understand. Lord, I'm giving it my best. I don't know what's happening. And you get discouraged. And your faith takes up wings, starts flying away. Well, we need to understand God doesn't honor our tradition or traditional sayings. In Mark 7, one of the things that Jesus said, they were talking about a number of things. You need to read the whole thing to get the idea. And I generally don't like to just pull out a scripture, but for time's sake, I have to. Jesus said in Mark 7, verse 13, in the Passion Translation, do you really think God will honor your traditions passed down to others? making up these rules that nullify God's word. Making up these rules that nullify God's word. And you're doing many other things like that. I read that in a translation called a Johnson Relational Translation, a Johnson Relational Paraphrase. And it says, with your man-made excuses, you nullify God's directive. So I'm saying when adversity comes and we try to do our best, or we may even succeed in doing our best, only to find out that our best is not good enough. But because we've been programmed, always do your best. Always, my mommy said, son, no matter, you always do your best. And if it doesn't work out, it's okay. It's not okay. It's not. Lives are hanging in the balance. But I can't say, well, I did my best, and walk around and leave someone there to die and go to hell. I can't do that. So that can't be the answer. But that's an answer that placates you. Everybody can understand that. Everybody can accept that. We feel proud. I did my best. But the job didn't get done. But I did my best. I tried. I did everything I know to do. And I know you mean well. We mean well when we make those types of statements. But we didn't do everything we know to do. First of all, I need to remind you that you're going to be bombarded with negative thoughts all day long. I told you a couple of years ago, that according to the Laboratory of Neuroimaging at the University of Southern Cal, they say the average person has about 48.6 thoughts per minute. That's 70,000 thoughts a day go through your head. Psychology Today estimated that you have anywhere from 25 to 50,000, 70% of which are negative. So depending on which study you want to consider, you have between 35,000 and 49,000 negative thoughts every day. And you're trying to do your best to get them under control. And sometimes we don't do it. Sometimes we do, but sometimes we don't. Now, that doesn't mean that negative thoughts cannot be overcome. What it means is that we can't overcome them in our own strength. That's all it means. And we need to understand that. We seem to stop at, we can't overcome them, and then go through life because of that. Now, I'm not trying to depress anyone. You know, this message is to encourage and exhort, but I have to tell you some facts. I saw something new in 2 Corinthians 12 in the account of Paul's thorn. And I like it when I see new things and I see things in it that I never saw before. And you all know Paul had this thorn in the flesh, the scriptures say. And I'm not going to get into what that thorn actually was because I don't want to take us off on a tangent. But all that's important is that Paul was weary. He was worn out by dealing with this thing. And in verse 8, 2 Corinthians 12, in the Amplified Bible, Amplified Classic, Paul said, three times I called upon the Lord and besought him about this and begged that it might depart from me. Three times. But he said to me, and this is the Lord speaking, said, my grace, my favor, and loving kindness and mercy is enough. My grace, my favor, and loving kindness and mercy is enough for you, sufficient against any danger, and enables you to bear the trouble manfully. Still the Lord speaking, for my strength and power are made perfect, fulfilled, and completed, and show themselves most effective in your weakness. I noticed, I don't just pay attention to what was said. I also pay attention to what was not said. The Lord did not say, Paul, your grace is sufficient for you. Your strength is made perfect. He said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. And then Paul said, therefore, I will most gladly glory in my weaknesses and infirmities, that the strength and power of Christ the Messiah may rest, yes, may pitch a tent over and dwell upon me. So God was telling Paul, you can't deal with this in your own strength. My grace is sufficient. My grace that I've already poured out on you is sufficient. So why are you trying to do this another way? My strength is made perfect. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. So why are you trying to get strong? Why are you trying to strong arm the issue? God said it's his grace, it's his strength. Then Paul, still talking based on what God told him, what the Lord told him. So for the sake of Christ, I am well pleased and take pleasure in infirmities, insults, hardships, and persecutions, perplexities, and distresses. For when I am weak in human strength, then I'm truly strong, able, powerful in divine strength. Paul said, I don't have to try and do the best I can. All I have to do is let God do the best he can through me. Paul was saying, my best is not good enough, so I'll just relax and let God's best do it. My grace, think about what he said, my favor and loving kindness and mercy is enough. And then he goes on to say, what's it's enough? It's sufficient against any danger. Does that leave anything out? Does it? And enables you to bear the trouble manfully. It means you won't be beaten down by what you're going through, what shows up. He said, for my strength and power are made perfect, fulfilled, completed, and show themselves most effective in your weakness. But we have to remember, he said, his grace, not ours. And Paul was quick to believe this. Look at John 16. All these are very, very familiar scriptures. We use them all the time. But we need to garner just what they're saying. Because I want you to stop trying to do your best and just do what God said. Because that's the absolute best you can never do, is what God said. And not just what he said, but the way he said. Jesus talking to his disciples in John 16, verse 33 in the Amplified Classic. He said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulations and trials and distress and frustrations, but just do the best you can and it'll probably work out. That's not what he said. He said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you have tribulations and trials and distresses and frustrations, but be of good cheer. So the best thing you can do when those things show up is to be of good cheer. Take courage. Take courage. That means courage has to be there. Be confident. That means you have a choice to not be confident. Certain, undaunted. Everybody say, why? For I have overcome the world. I've deprived. Now listen to what our Savior has said. I have deprived it of power to harm you, and I have conquered it for you. Jesus said, I have deprived the world of power for you. He didn't say, just do the best you can. He said, I've already done it. In this world, you will have tribulations, you'll have distresses, you'll have frustrations. Stuff is going to happen. But he said, when that happens, you be of good cheer. You take courage. You be confident. You be certain and undaunted, unmoved, unfazed by anything that's going on. Why? Because I have overcome the world. I've deprived it of power to harm you. It's looking for power to harm you. I said you can't have any. Our responsibility then is to walk like the world has no power over us. That's the best we can do. That's the absolute best we can do. Believe what our Lord has said and do it. And the only way you'll do it is because you believe it. Say, acting on what Jesus said is doing my absolute best. And the only way I can do my absolute best is to act on what Jesus said. Okay. Look at Philippians 4. Okay, these aren't scriptures that just popped into the Bible last night. Apostle Paul, talking to the church of Philippi, he said, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things. Now listen to this next part. This is another one. I was like, when did they slip that phrase in? Okay. Listen to this. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need, and to suffer need. I am instructed to suffer need. I am instructed to have more than enough. I am instructed to barely have enough. I am instructed to do those things. So why am I fighting against them? Why am I instructed to do that? Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Listen to it in the Passion. I know what it means to lack, and I know what it means to experience overwhelming abundance. For I'm trained in the secret of overcoming all things, whether in fullness or in hunger. And I find that the strength of Christ's explosive power infuses me to conquer every difficulty. Not my own strength. Not me doing my best. The strength of Christ's explosive power infuses me. Now, I looked up that word. It means causes to be permeated with something such as a principle or quality that alters, usually for the better. The strength of Christ has altered me. It means to steep in liquid such as like in water without boiling, so you can extract the soluble constituents or principles. So we have been steeped in the knowledge of Christ so that all of the principles of Christ are in us. And that, letting that occur, letting occur what was put in us, is the best we could possibly do. But we forget that, and we go to our own strength. We go to our own strength. It's not your ability. It's not my ability. It's God. Jesus talking to his disciples in John 14, Passion Translation. And this is what we need to think about. Don't you believe that the Father is living in me and that I am living in the Father? Even my words are not my own. So stop trying to figure out what's the best you can say. Jesus said, even my words are not my own, but come from my Father, for he lives in me and performs his miracles of power through me. Why are we trying to do it on our own? Why are we toiling, struggling to do the best? I'm trying to be the best Christian that I can. Just be obedient. Just do what God said. Whatever he said, do it. Simple. It's up to him. He said he conquered the world for us. He said he took away its power to harm us. So if something can't stop us, can't harm us, why aren't we doing what we're supposed to do? Why don't we have our hands on the plow and just keep plowing away? And when we see something coming, Father, I thank you that you've conquered that for me. And you keep going. Why? Because that's the best you can do. Not stop, take your hands off the plow, and try and figure this thing out. What's to figure out? We've already been given instructions. And we've been told something that should make us really feel invincible. You know what that something is? No weapon that's formed against you shall prosper. No weapon formed against you will prosper. It's the same principle when Daniel was thrown in the lion's den. God took away the power of the lions over Daniel. He didn't take away the power of the lions. Their power was of non-effect when it came to Daniel. The heat from the fiery furnace killed the guards. But the heat of the fiery furnace, the power of the heat of the fiery furnace was taken away from having an effect on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It wasn't that it wasn't powerful, it wasn't powerful over them. So they went with what God said. Everybody else, the entire nation of Israel, except for them, the best they could do was bow. The best we can do is stand. We need to rely on his best and not our best. See, when the angel Gabriel told Mary she was going to give birth to Christ, he made a pronouncement and she made a proclamation. He announced in Luke 1:37, the Amplified, for with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. And then Mary proclaimed, behold, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to what you have said. She didn't say, I'm going to take what you said and I'm going to try. She said, no, be it unto me according to what you said. Because she believed that with God, nothing shall ever be impossible. She didn't say, I'll do the best. She made a proclamation. Be it unto me according to thy word. And let me say this. Once a well-meaning believer told me, just do your best and God will honor it. Me trying to figure things out is not me doing my best. It's not. I don't pat people on the back and say, don't worry, it's okay. It'll be all right. No, it won't be all right. If you don't get it together, if you don't realize who you are in Christ, you're going to die prematurely. You're going to mess things up. You're never going to have a moment's peace. But I'm trying. Did I quote Mr. Miyagi? No try, do. No try, do. And I'm trying to do this thing, but I'm not quite sure on where to go. No problem. James 1, verses 5 to 7. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So if you don't know what to do, don't throw your hands up. Oh, I don't know what to do. I've done the best I can, Lord. Father, what is it that I'm supposed to do about this? Father, how do you want me to handle this? Father, how should I respond to that? I told you, when I was given the responsibility to create this room out of classrooms, I knew zero about construction. I didn't go to the pastors and say, well, I'll do the best I can, but I don't know anything about construction. I never uttered those words to them until after the project was completed. I said, God, you know I don't have a clue. Now I'm asking you to instruct me every step. Tell me what to do. And the first thing he said, go meet with the building department. Why? You need wisdom about the building codes. And I went and sat with them for 3 hours. Guy retired soon after that. I'm like, I hope I didn't wear him out. And he told me everything that I needed to know. I didn't go to the contractors and say, how's it going? How you doing? I'm like, God, how is this project going? And he would tell me things. They're not following the code in this area. So the first thing I do is go to that and get look it up the code. And I see what the code is, and I would come in at 5:30 in the morning and check and saw that they were doing things that they thought they'd get them done and covered up before I normally came in at 9. And yeah, I got called into a meeting with the pastors because the contractor was complaining that I was making the job take too long. And I told the pastors, this is what I'm doing. I'm consulting with God and doing what he said. And then I said, this is the way I see it. If the contractors do something wrong, they don't follow the code, and someone gets hurt, and the case goes to litigation, my name is not going to be on a complaint. Nobody's going to come looking for Gregory Carr. Nobody's going to come looking for the contractor. They're going to come after the president of the corporation, Clinton H. Utterbach. And I said, I felt that my job is to make sure that doesn't happen. The pastor said, you keep doing what you're doing. We'll take care of the contractor. That was my absolute best. I got to close. The Bible tells us that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So if you don't think you can do something, you won't be able to. Even though you've been empowered by God to do it, you won't be able to. The minute you get to the point where you say, I can't go on, you won't be able to go on. The minute you say, I try, but I just can't do this, stop trying and start doing. We're not operating in our own ability, but in God's ability, because he's the one who said we can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So the absolute best that we can do is exactly what God said. Period. Stop trying to do things in your own strength. Stop trying to figure things out. Ask, and ye shall receive. That's what my father said. My father, and that's what your father said. Ask, and you shall receive. Ask. Read. Find out what he said you can do. And then do it. You can't do it if you don't know. And stop trying to do things in your own strength. You're not strong enough. You'll never be strong enough. Never. But you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Is there anybody here? You've never received Christ as Savior. Never ask him to come and live in your heart. There may be someone out there. You may be raising your hand where you are and I can't see you, so why don't we all make this confession? Father, I believe that you're God, and I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe he went to hell in my place. And I also believe that after 3 days in hell, God, you raised him from the dead. So Jesus, I ask you, come into my heart. Come into my life. I turn from my past ways as an act of repentance, and I turn to you, and I'm asking you, make something new of me. Well, according to the Bible, if you confess that with your mouth, which you did, and you believed it in your heart, then you're saved. We have some information we want to get into your hands. If you're here, you know, just before you leave, let the head host know. They'll direct you to one of the deacons. Online, use the contact information. We'll send you the same free information. And if you have any questions about anything I've shared, use the same contact information. And I promise I will get back to you. Won't be the same day, but I will get back to you.